Okay. The story of Lot and Avraham, which we started to talk about last week in the parasha of Lech Lecha, continues in this week's parasha in Vayera. The story that's told in Vayera is about Lot living in Sodom, and the angels come, not sure exactly what they came for, but it was there. They were charged with somehow being part of this process of getting rid of these places, Stoma, Mora, Admot, Svoyim, the places that were determined could no longer really exist in the world. And in that story, Lot goes through some sort of tshuva. Like tshuva is usually done about a specific event or a specific omission that you did. But his tshuva was to do a nice thing or to try to do a nice thing. And that was, at least in the context of the story, that may have been the reason for his being saved. Right? You know, the angels came and there was opposition from the people. They didn't want to give them lodging and a place to stay. And Lot, in an extraordinary manner, not the kind of manner that we might personally appreciate, tried to make it possible for them to stay. And he offered them lodging and food. And that seemed to be a kind of a reason or a redemptive moment for Lot, which, as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him. But the psukim, or some of the psukim, don't read it that way. So let's read the psukim that are relevant. In Perek Yutet, Pasuk Kaf Zayin, you see? Perek Yutet, Pasuk Kaf Zayin. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham. It was the story. This we're talking now, even though it's happening in Sodom, we're talking about Avraham. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. We know that lingo. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. The same phrase is used in Akedat Yitzchak, right? Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, and it's interpreted by Chazal, but reasonably, that Avraham Avinu wanted to do the mitzvah as soon as he possibly could, as soon as he got up. And that's Vayashkem, that everything is, when it comes to mitzvot, zrizut, right, being quick, active is the better position. So here it says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Et Pnei Hashem. Right, Avram got up and he went to the place where he confronted God. And then it says in Pasuk Kavchet, Vayashkef al pnei Sodom va'Amora. Sodom va'Amora, the names of two cities. Vayashkef, he was able to look out over these two cities. Va'kol pnei Eretz HaKikar, and the land, the flat land that Lot wanted to inherit. Eretz HaKikar, Vayar, and he saw. V'hinei ole kitor ha'aretz. Kikitor Hakivshan, so the smoke was coming out of the earth, just like the smoke was coming out of the furnace. Okay, so here's the picture. Avraham Avinu, who has all this information from God, he knows what's happening and why it's happening. He's standing there, looking out over God's destructive abilities, destroying these cities. Pasuk Kavtet. Vayhi b'shachet Elokim et arei hakikar. And while God was doing this, was destroying the cities in the kikar part of the land of Canaan. Vayiskor Elokim et Avraham. This is like always a super non sequitur. You know, like it has absolutely nothing to do. Avraham Avinu is standing there watching what is happening, but it doesn't have anything to do with him directly. He's not being burnt up. He's not being punished. And then the pasuk says, "Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham," and God remembered Avraham. Remembered Avraham for what? What connection was there to the memory of Avraham, or to remembering Avraham? Vayishalach et Lot mitoch ha'apecha. And as a result of Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham, right? So God did something that was not exactly planned, and that was to save Lot because of Avraham. How does that work exactly? Vayishlach et Lot mitoch ha'apecha, and he sent Lot out of this destructive world, destroyed world. When the cities were turned over, were upset, were destroyed, the cities in which Lot dwelt. So, of course, the words that I find difficult are "Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham," and God remembered Avraham. Remembered Avraham for what? So, like, if you look at the Rashi, look at Rashi. So Rashi asks the question, as Rashi is wont to do. Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham, mahu zechirato shel Avraham alot. What is it that the memory of Avraham had to do with Lot? Nizkar. I mean, can you imagine often we say, it's impossible. You can't say God remembered something, because that would imply that God could forget something. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to attack the perfection that God represents because of a word. But Rashi says, Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham, mahu zechirato shel Avraham alot. What is it that we're referring to? Yodea Shesara Ishto Shel Avraham, where they went down. Vishama Shamar Avraham B'Mitzrayim Al Sara Achotihi. When Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, Vayira Abba Aretz, there was a famine in the land, and because of the famine, Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim. But when he was in Mitzrayim, they asked him, "Who is this?" Pointing to the good-looking woman at his side, and he said, "Achotihi," she is my sister. That was not true, even though the Mefarshim tried to indicate that somehow she was related to him. But she was also his wife, and certainly I think she would probably rather be introduced as Avram's wife than some distant relative. So he says, Vishama Shamar Avraham Mitzrayim al Sarah Chotihi. He Lot heard that Avraham called her my sister, right? That he knew that he was lying. Velogi lahadava. And Lot didn't give it up. He didn't give up the secret, and because Shayach Chasalav, he was merciful to him. Lefika Chas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Alav. Rashi likes Chazal like the midah keneged midah, some kind of a parody. Lot took care of Abraham. Abraham takes care of Lot. So Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham means that God at that moment remembered something that happened with Avraham at the instigation of Lot. That's Vayizkor Vayizkor Elokim et Abraham. It means that God remembered what happened with Abraham. Of course, having something to do with Lot. That's something. Still, that word Vayizkor is terribly annoying. I mean, you could say, look, it's always true that if you want to say something about God, the only words that you have available to you are the words that you use to talk about people. I mean, you may talk about kings, you may talk about, you know, great leaders, generals, but you have to use the only words that we have. We don't have a vocabulary that is exclusive to God. So every time we say something about God, or somebody says something about God, it's always going to be difficult. It's always good to present the problem. Given all that, I think the use of the word Vayizkor is directly contrary to the way we understand God. That memory after all is about the past. And when it comes to God, we don't like to admit that there is time, that in whatever preceded the creation of the world, whatever preceded that time, that world was timeless. There was no before and no after, and there was no memory. It was just whatever it was. Creation, at least the medievalists all thought this is true. And I have certainly not advanced beyond those medievalists. Time was created in creation, right? Like, because there was creation introduced change. Things change. Sometimes the sun is shining, sometimes the sun doesn't shine, sometimes it rains, sometimes it doesn't rain. But because of change, there could be time. And you could speak about things that happened before and the things that happened afterwards. But to say that God remembered something, that's a little bit difficult. Let's look at the Ramban, the third source. Vayizkor Elokim et Abraham vayishlach et Lot. Inyan hakatuv hazeh, this pasuk, the Ramban said, ki Lot nitchased im hatzadik lalechet imo lashut ba'aretz ba'asher yelech. He says simply, Lot was the one who agreed to go with Abraham. And that was a kind of a chesed. It was Lot said, okay, you need me. You want me to come along with you from, you know, they were in Haran. You want to go to Eretz Canaan? Okay, we'll go to Eretz Canaan. V'hu she'ne'emar v'yelech ito Lot. He went with Abraham Avinu, right, as under his command, right? Abraham Avinu would lead the way. And therefore he had this merit that he went with Abraham, and that merit was going to save him. Ki ba'avuro, who garb is Sodom. It was because of Abraham that he was living in Sodom. Vilule Abraham odenu haya becharan im moladeto. Not for Abraham. He would still be in Haran. He, Lot, would still be in Haran. He wouldn't have gone any place. It wasn't his idea to go to Eretz Canaan. So Abraham Avinu says, look, I've been given instructions to go to Eretz Canaan. You want to come? So Lot said, yeah, I want to come. I'll come with you. I'll support you. I'll be helpful to you. V'lo yitachein shetavo elav ra'a bavur Abraham sheyetzav in mitzvat konoah. And so why? It doesn't make sense to say. This is the Ramban. The Ramban said, so who is Lot? Lot didn't receive directive from God. And he may not have even clarified that matter with Abraham. But he was going because of the divine command. And he ended up in Sodom because he went with Abraham. And so how could it be, the Ramban says, Belo yitachein shetavo elav ra'a ba'avur Abraham sheyetzav mitzvat kono.
It's not mitzvah kunot. V'gam ze haya inyan she sam Avraham nafsho bekapo lirdof amlachim ba'avuro.
And this you have to understand. This is why Avraham was willing to take up the fight against the kings in order to redeem Lot. Or to redeem Lot. So the Ramban, the Ramban sees it in the psukim themselves. Rashi says the words are by Yizkor Elokim et Avraham, that somehow Avraham saved Lot. And then there's that word by Yizkor that we still find difficult. But Avraham or saved Lot. So Rashi said, well, we all know there's this story about how Lot knew and he didn't say anything and Avraham was saved as a result. So quid pro quo. Those very popular words these days. I take them back. Midah keneged Midah. Right? Midah keneged Midah. Avraham Avinu did a good thing. So Lot did a good thing for Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu did a good thing for Lot. The Ramban is much more closely tied to the words of the Chumash themselves. And he says, well, Avraham Avinu caused, it was Lot who kind of joined up with Avraham Avinu. That was a good thing. And even though he wasn't directed to do this mitzvah of going to Eretz Canaan, he did it. I mean, he went with Avraham. So if he went with Avraham, how could it be that doing a mitzvah could cause his downfall? That because he ended up in Sodom, because he went with Avraham, that's why his shepherds had a dispute about the land. And so he ended up in Sodom. And because he ended up in Sodom, he's going to get burnt up as a punishment. I mean, it doesn't make any sense for the Ramban that being close to Avraham Avinu should lead to your own destruction. So that's what it says. That's what it says. We'll leave out the Targum Yonatan for a moment. Now there are two. What?
Am I understanding correctly? Neither Rashi nor the Ramban addresses the question that you've raised.
Right.
About the nature of God's remembrance.
Right.
Okay.
Correct. Now, if you look at okay, let's look at the second source, which is Bereishit Perek Chet, the first two psukim. Remember Noach? I mean, I know it's a couple of weeks ago, but we're going forward, right? So when you go forward, you forget what's in the back. But remember that Noach was in this ark, and it rained, and then it stopped raining, and the time was almost time for Noach to get out of the teva, out of the ark, and to restart creation. That was Noach's job. That's what it was intended to do. So as an introduction, it says, Vayizkor Elokim et Noach ve'et kol ha'chaya ve'et kol ha'beima asher ito ba'teiva. Vayizkor. Remember that word? We just saw it about Vayizkor Abraham. Vayizkor Elohim, again, et Noach ve'et kol ha'beima. So Vayizkor is a verb. That verb acted like God did something about Noach and the animals and the other animals, Asher Ito Bateva, all of whom are in the ark. Vayaver Elokim Ruach al Haaretz Vayashoku Amayim. And then the wind came, blew all the water away, and the water sunk down to the level of the land, at least in some places. Okay, so what does Rashi say? You see Rashi? Vayizkor Elokim et Noach. Vayizkor Elokim. The first Rashi. Ze Hashem Midat Adin Hu. this, the use of the name Elohim, right, as the name of God, is midat hadinhu. That's judgment. Judgment. V'nebcha l'midat rachamim al yedei tfilat ha-tzadikim. And din, judgment, became mercy through the tefillah of the tzaddikim, the prayer of the righteous. The rishatam shel rishaim hofechet midat rachamim the midat adin, and the opposite is true about the tefillah of the wicked. They turn goodness, mercy, into something devastating, judgment. Shenemar. How do I know this? Rashi says, "Vayara Hashem ki rabba ra'ata Adam, vayomar Hashem emche, vuhu sham midat rachamim." So it's okay. The proof that the use of the names of God indicate that rachamim, mercy, became din. So what does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? Vayizkor Elokim et Noach is a statement about mercy. That God had a merciful feeling. He looked at Noach and all the living things in the ark, and he had mercy on them. And that's Vayizkor Elokim et Noach. The second Rashi, Vayizkor Elokim et Noach, takes up another problem. It says God remembered Noach was in the ark and all the animals were in the ark. What did God look at? We saw the behemoth. Well, how did he see righteousness in the behemoth? Why did they deserve to live? So a famous Rashi, quoting Chazal, says, "Zechut shelo yishchitu darkam kodem lachen," that they had a schut, these animals. They were not depraved before the flood. Vishaloshim shubateva, and they didn't have relations with each other, these animals, while they were in the teva. So according to Rashi, the tsiruf, the combination of words, vayizkor elokim, that combination of words means mercy. It means a merciful position emerged. Suddenly there was mercy in the world. Okay. That's what Rashi says.
What does Rashi mean by Shelo Yishchitu Darkam? What exactly?
Before the flood, there was no reason for them to be punished.
Yeah, but what is it that they didn't do that other animals were doing?
What
is it that they didn't do that other animals were doing or men were doing? What specific
sin? No, they didn't act in a depraved manner before the flood.
What does that mean? I'm asking
that the flood didn't come because of them.
No, I'm saying what does acting in a depraved manner? What exactly was the depravity?
Oh, what would they do to be depraved? I don't know. I guess to kill things that they didn't have to eat. I don't know. I mean, it's a question.
Wasn't it interspecies mating?
The what?
Wasn't it interspecies mating?
But not on the ark.
Right.
But just these specific animals were not depraved. The same type of animals outside, they were depraved. That's what we're saying.
So yes. Okay. One more source. Bereshit Perek Yud Bet. Bereshit Perek Yud Bet is the beginning of the story of Avraham. Lech Lecha. Right? The beginning of the story of Avraham. Vayom Hashem el Avraham. Lech Lecha me'artzecha me'moladetecha me'beit avicha el ha'aretz asher ereka. Okay. In the parish of Lech Lecha, you talk about this pasuk a lot. But we're going to go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, Ve'etzcha legoy gadol. God promises Avram Avinu that I will make you into a great nation, which is taken to mean numerically great. Great big, right? A large number of progeny. Va'avarechecha, and I will bless you. Va'gadla shmecha, What does Hagadla Shemecha mean? Your guess is as good as mine, but we do know that Avram became Avraham. And Avraham is bigger than Avram, right? We know that. I don't claim that that explains anything, but if I understood why God changed Avram's name to Avraham, maybe I would understand this pasuk as well. But finally, what does it say? Veye bracha, and you will be bracha, and that's the issue. Veye bracha. What does Rashi say? Veye bracha. Habrachot netunot biyadecha. Ad achshav ayu biyadi. God says to Avraham Avinu, until now, bracha was my prerogative. I gave it out. I gave out brachot. But now you're going to do that. Berachti et Adam ve Noach votcha, umeachshav ata tivarech et asher tachpotz. Up to now, I blessed Adam Arishon, I blessed Noach, I blessed you, God says to Avraham Avinu. But now, ata tivarech et asher tachpotz. This, for Rashi, is the simple pshat of the pasuk v'yei bracha. Now, I admit that having seen this Rashi 100 times, I haven't got a clue about what Rashi is talking about, which is a good way to start thinking about things, right? But what interests me at the moment is the davar acher, which kind of indicates that Rashi also didn't understand what he was saying. In other words, he was explaining the words. Veye bracha, you will be a bracha. How? Up to now, I was a bracha. Now you're going to be the bracha. I mean, in other words, it fits in with the words. It just doesn't sit well as an idea. So then Rashi says, Davar acher. Davar acher. Ve'escha legoy gadol. Zeu she'omrim Elokei Avraham. Vavarechecha, zeu she'omrim Elokei Yitzchak. Vagadla shemecha, zeu she'omrim Elokei Yaakov. Yechol. In other words, Rashi seems to have known Shmon Esrei, the first bracha, and he says, well, let's look at this pasuk as being the formulation, as leading to the formulation of Shmon Esrei. Right, Shmona Esrei was, according to the Gemara, a later invention. Right, it mentioned in the time of the Tanaim. Before that, right, in the time of the Tanakh, for example, everybody davened whenever they felt the need to daven. Right, according to the Rambam, as you know, there is a mitzvah to daven every day, once a day. But other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and they say that that there is no obligation to daven, but people daven when they feel the need to daven. And when they feel that need, they daven in whatever language they have. They daven with the words that they know. But finally, for some reason, when the Jews came back from the Babylonian exile, the Chachamim felt that they needed a text. They needed a standardized text. Probably, I mean, the Rambam has an explanation for that as well. We won't go into it, but I just think in general, people who need a text feel that they can't do it without the text. I would imagine. Maybe I'm overstepping here, but I think that when they came back from Babel, for some reason, they felt that they didn't have the words available to daven. And they were very happy that someone of authority will give them the words. Here they are. So Rashi says, it goes back to this pasuk. It goes back to this pasuk. Shomrim Elokei Avraham. He says, Escha legoy gadol. He goes through the pasuk. Zeu shomrim Elokei Avraham. Davarechecha zeu shomrim Elokei Yitzchak. Vagadla shemecha zeu shomrim Elokei Yaakov. Yachol yiyu chotmim bikulan. What does that mean? Chotmim is a chatima. It's the final conclusion.
You know that every paragraph of Shmona Esrei ends with a bracha. Right? Ends with a bracha. The first bracha ending is Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. That's the first. And we know that there is a rule that says that the Chatima is got to be similar to the paragraph. It's sort of like a summary of the paragraph, in fact. So the Rashi says, but we don't do it that way. Even though we say Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, we mention all the three Avot, in the summary, the bracha that comes at the end, we say Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Abraham. So this is according to Rashi, right? Ve'ye bracha, becha chotmim ve'lo bahem. And this is when you, that there's a bracha for you. You, Abraham, are going to be distinguished. Because even though we all know that there are three avot, and even we know that all the three avot are necessary, and they're important, and they're able to do things that are significant, those three avot, nevertheless, you're special. Magen Abraham. Not Magen Abraham Yitzhak V'Yaakov, but just Magen Abraham. You remain special, even in the context of the Avot. So these are the three sources that I have chosen, and I would like to try to explain it, to explain this idea of Vayizkor. We know that on Rosh Hashanah, we say Malchiot Zichronot Shofarot. What we say are psukim. Psukim about Melech, psukim about Zikaron, memory, remembering, and psukim about Shofarot. Now, I would say that if you had to take a test and explain why do you think we say Malchiot, I think everybody could come up with a reasonable answer. Malchiot is something about God. We want to emphasize the fact that we know that God is Melech, that God's relationship to the world is one of dominance. Okay. And also, if I had to ask you about Shofarot, you would say that, special occasions, things are happening. It's reasonable that the world the world notices things. And so at Har Sinai, when we were receiving the Torah, there was a lot of noise happening. Some of the noise came from Shofarot. And so we emphasized that. And Chazal said, those psukim should be said at the time we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So first we say, these 10 psukim blow the shofar, these 10 psukim blow the shofar, these 10 psukim blow the shofar. But zichronot, what does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah? What does it have to do with anything, in fact? What does it have to do with anything? So let's go back to Noach. After the flood, and Noach being released from the ark, the world changed. Something in the world changed. Because if nothing in the world had changed, Noach and all of his descendants would also be subjected to some sort of destruction. So what changed? What was it? What was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, which said that the world had changed? And so the answer is, Vayizkor Elokim et Noach, et HaBehema, et HaChaya. The only question is, what does that mean? What does that mean?
So what that means is that we are no longer judged by on our own entirely. It's like, you know, we turn to God and we say, look, we messed up before, we'll mess up afterwards. This was the argument that Bnei Yisrael had when they said they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. We'll go back to Mitzrayim. They were safe in Mitzrayim. They were saved from God's wrath. They were willing to put up with the discomfort of slavery because they were living in a depraved world. And they weren't worried about being punished because they were being punished all the time. Can you imagine that? I don't know if it's relevant, but you know, everybody wonders about slaves. There were always these stories about slaves who enjoyed where they were and felt close to the family and the like, because slavery is the bottom. It's the bottom of the list of disadvantages that you might have. So the Jews, led by Moshe Rabbeinu, but what does Moshe Rabbeinu have to convince them of? That they're worthy, that they could do it, that they could be the people that God wants them to be. All of that is possible. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to tell them. And you don't have to decide in advance that you can't do it. Because we live in the world of Vayizkor Elohim et Noach. And what is the world of Vayizkor Elohim et Noach? What is that world? Where your judgment is not just about you, but includes where you come from. It includes Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that's why we start davening Shmona Esrei with Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That we remember where we came from. That's our opening gambit. That's what we do when we daven. That's what we do when we daven. Every tefillah, every Shmona Esrei in the that we ever say starts with Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. I mean, okay, this is like a primer of theology or something, a class in Jewish history. No, it's because I know very well that if I had lived in the time preceding Noah, I would have been destroyed in the flood because I have no redemptive qualities. Or if I have a redemptive quality, I mean, it's not really a big deal. But zichronot, those zichronot that I say on Rosh Hashanah, which come from this idea by Yizkor Elohim et Noach, about the fact that I stand before God, but not alone. I don't stand alone. I stand with those who preceded me, all the way back to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And when it comes to Zichronot, Shmona Esrei says, special reference to Abraham. Because Abraham, for us, was the inventor of Zichronot. Abraham was the inventor of Zichronot. And where did he invent it? He invented it right here. Right? He said, Vayizkor Elohim et Abraham. What is Vayizkor Elohim et Abraham? Lot, on his own, by his own merit, he wouldn't have been saved. Why would God save Lot? I mean, Lot was a bad guy. Even though in Sodom he did something that seems a little bit more reasonable, but sach hakol, all in all, he couldn't get along with Abraham. He couldn't live up to those standards. He could only fight with him about land, about territory, about money. I mean, that was Lot. But Vayizkor Elohim et Lot, but in as far as Lot was related to Abraham, that's Vayizkor Elohim et Abraham is a statement about Lot. It's like Lot davening. Like davening and saying, I am Avraham's nephew. I know that. That's something that I know. And if God knows that, Lot knows that, so Lot has a certain advantage. Lot has a certain advantage. So Noach was the beginning of the new world. the world that wouldn't be destroyed because people will not be judged ultimately on their own, standing alone before God. Standing alone before God is an impossible position to be in, because the only way to stand before God is to be perfect. And it doesn't seem that perfection is one of our opportunities. Right? So that Vayizkor Elokim et Noach means there's a new world, Noach. There's a new start. And the new start is that even you, Noach, right, you're going to do a terrible thing. You're going to do a terrible thing with your children, with getting drunk, with the vines and the grapes that you grow. He says, you're going to do a bad thing, but the world will continue to exist because you're not alone. You're part of the history of the creation of the world. You're part of the history of the Gan Eden, of Adam and Chava in the Gan Eden. And because you're part of that history, by Yisrael Kimet Noach, then we'll let you go. We'll let you have off. We'll let you pass somehow. Avram Avinu's connection to Lot ensured that Lot would escape the punishment of Sodom va'Amorah. And he did. Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham, that Lot, after all, is somehow connected to Avraham. And that's the prayer of Shemona Esrei. The prayer of Shemona Esrei answers the question, and who are you? You know, like, you knock on the door, and you say, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm here, I'd like to have a few requests. What do they call that? A bucket list? That's English, right? Bucket list. Hey, this is all I want. It's a short one. This today is a short one. Just take care of the following things. So where do you get that from? Where do you get that chutzpah from? So that chutzpah comes from the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. I say, look, I may not be a big deal, but I have a lot of yichus. I have a lot of yichus, and that yichus is going to get me through. I insist that you take into account all of that yichus. And who's the yichus? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But more than any of the others, I learned it from Avraham. I learned it from Avraham. So Baruch Ata Hashem again Avraham. Right? The bracha is the quintessence of the idea that it all comes from Avram Avinu. Yes, it's also true for Yitzchak and for Yaakov, but Avram Avinu started it, believed in it, thought it was possible. What was possible? It was possible that the world that was not always in accord with divine will or divine wishes could continue to exist in the hope that things would improve and get better. So you see, the Targum, the first source of the Targum Yonasan, you know that you look at Mikraot Gedolot, any edition of Mikraot Gedolot in English usually called Rabbinic Bible. It doesn't mean you have to be a rabbi to learn it. It just means that rabbis produced it, I guess, or it has commentaries of rabbis around it. It was an interesting idea to print a book like that. So the Targum Yonasan, there are two Targumim that are printed in Mikraot Gedolot, and maybe even three, but two certainly. One is called Unkelus, which is very shot-oriented, meaning that it's a word-for-word kind of translation. And the other is called Targum Yonatan. It really should be called Targum Yushalmi. But we call it Targum Yonatan because we love to dote on our own mistakes. So we call it Yonatan. is more agadic, open-minded, thoughtful, you know, etc. So if you look at the Targum, see Kaf Tet in the Targum Bavat, Bechabalut Hashem Yat Kirvei Meshra, and God destroyed the cities. Kirvei, Kirya is like a city. Meshra is a kikar. Then the words, these are the words I'm interested in. Dechkir Hashem Yat Zechutei Da Abraham. And by Yizkor Elohim et Abraham, God remembered Abraham. The Targum says God remembered the merits of Abraham. In other words, the merits of Abraham had an effect on the status of Lot. Lot was saved because of Abraham. That's what the Targum says. The same thing is true, I think I mentioned, that the Chazal say that Terach, that the Pasuk says that Abraham, you're going to go and meet Terach. Terach died, but you'll meet with Terach. What do you mean you'll meet with Terach? Terach's a bad guy, so he's in the bad guy room. Abraham is going to be the good guy room. So what is he... who's going to meet whom? So the Ramban explains that there's a halacha that every day the Kohanim were responsible to bring wood onto the Maracha, onto the fire that was on the Mizbeach. Now, there was no kashrus issue with that wood. You could bring any wood you found, any place to use to keep the fire going on the Mizbeach. But you weren't allowed to use the wood from a vine or a zayit. What's a zayit? What? Oh yeah, you're not allowed to use either the vine of the grapes or the olives. The wood. Right? So the question the Gemara asks, why not? He says, well, because we need the grapes and the oil for the Mizbeach. In other words, there were sacrifices that given so that the fruit saved the tree. The fruit saved the tree. Because I need the fruit, I shouldn't use the tree for firewood. That's the halakha. That's halacha. So I could use any kind of wood, but I can't take the wood off the vine. I can't take the wood off the olive tree, right? And the way the Gemara says it is, the fruit saved the tree. So the Ramban said, that's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu meaning, if you have a son like Avraham Avinu, you'll be able to sneak into a good place in Olam Haba. That's what he says. So you have to think about that. It's probably worth it. Okay. Good Shabbos.